Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Lucille Ball and Mark Stevens in The Dark Corner. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. The other day at the studio, Fred Kolmar, prominent 20th Century Fox producer, was telling me how, a few years ago, when he was a young film executive, he chanced to see a Titian-haired young model, whom he thought had great screen possibilities, Lucille Ball. Little did he dream that some years later he'd be starring that same Titian-haired beauty in his production and our play tonight, The Dark Corner, thereby vindicating his judgment. Co-starred with Miss Ball is another player who's risen rapidly to well-deserved eminence on the screen, Mark Stevens. Both superbly cast, I think you'll agree, in a hard-hitting melodrama of murder, mystery, and romance. And that reminds me of another mystery story, one concerning Lux Toilet Soap. It's from Mrs. Vivian Gardner of Santa Barbara, who discovered that for some weeks, Lux Soap was mysteriously disappearing from her cupboard. After competent detective work, she finally traced it to her teenage daughter. That young lady said, "Why, Mother, I thought you knew. I just took the soap to put in my bureau as sachets because I just love the Lux Toilet Soap fragrance." Well, I'm sure Mrs. Gardner meted out to her daughter no more punishment than a compliment for her ingenuity and good taste. It's playtime and star time, and here they are. Lucille Ball as Kathleen and Mark Stevens as Bradford Galt in Act One of The Dark Corner. New York City, a sultry summer afternoon. In an old-fashioned office building, Detective Lieutenant Reeves is making a routine visit.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It says on the door, Bradford Galt, private investigator. You're his secretary?
Yes, may I help you?
Lieutenant Reeves, police department.
Oh.
Yes, you can help me, if you know anything I want to know.
Well, I wouldn't know anything you couldn't find out by asking Mr. Galt. He'll be back in a minute.
Nice quality, loyalty. How long have you been working for Galt?
Several weeks.
What do you know about him?
I like him.
Does he keep you busy?
I sharpen pencils, do the typing, answer the phone, and mind my own business.
Well, look who's here. Hello, Reeves.
Yeah, hello, Galt. What are you working on these days?
My income tax. Why?
Nothing special. Last time I called on you, you were on 6th Avenue. Why didn't you tell me you were moving your office over here?
Why should I? I notified the Commissioner of Licenses.
Yeah, but you didn't notify me. I like to know these things, too. I've taken a professional and personal interest in you. I promised my friends in San Francisco to see that you didn't get into mischief. You're an impulsive youth, you know.
Look, I got a fast shuffle out west. All I'm asking is a fair chance to work up a legitimate business. I'm playing this by the book, and I won't even trip over a comma.
I hope not. Okay, Galt. I'll see you around, I guess.
It's nearly 6 o'clock, Mr. Galt. I'll leave, too, if there's nothing else.
There is something else.
Oh?
Would you mind having dinner with me?
Is this part of the job?
It is tonight.
Working conditions are certainly looking up around here.
And potty your nose, honey, and let's go.
Oh, dinner was lovely, Mr. Galt. Thank you.
You're welcome. Say, how'd you like to go dancing? We got some great playgrounds up around 52nd Street.
Among them, your apartment.
Oh, well, that's just a coincidence.
I haven't worked for you very long, but I know when you're pitching a curve at me, and I always carry a catcher's mitt.
No offense. The guy's got to try, doesn't he?
Not in my league, Mr. Galt. In my league, we play for keeps, said she with a smile.
Oh, well, maybe I ought to fire you then.
Before you do, I ought to tell you something. We're being followed.
I know. Guy in a white suit, about 5'10", brown hair, sport shoes.
I, I've never been followed before.
Hey, that's a terrible reflection on American manhood. He's been tailing us since we left the office.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he likes your big blue eyes.
Do we just keep walking?
No. There's a cab at the corner. Take it. Go around the block, then park across from our office. Wait there till he comes out.
And you?
I'll invite the white suit up to the office for choir practice. After he sings, you follow him. Let me know where he goes.
Okay, but what have you been doing lately?
What do you think I've been doing?
Well, I think you could have been doing a lot of things, because you're stubborn and impulsive and you think you're tough. You've got some blind spots, too.
Yeah? Name one.
Sentiment about women, for instance. You're afraid of emotion. You keep your heart in a steel safe.
I suppose you're the blowtorch type.
I can be warm.
Good. Here's the cab.
Be careful, Brad. I'll see you later.
All right, Buster.
Huh?
Let's take a walk.
Why?
Because there's a gun in my pocket that says you'd better. Come on. My office is just around the block.
I don't like this, mister. I don't like this at all.
Just stay in the chair. You travel light, don't you? Nothing in your pockets but a roll of nickels, some keys, and your wallet. But a roll of nickels will do for brass knuckles any day.
Brass knucks ain't legal. I just carry my change the hard way.
What's in the wallet?
$5.
Oh, no. No. More than that, Buster. An identification card. Fred Foss, huh? 728 East 23rd Street. All right, Freddy. Let's play 20 questions. You give me the right answers, maybe I won't knock your teeth out. What's your racket?
Same as yours, Private Dick.
That's the wrong answer. We don't go on a job without a license. Where's yours?
I left it home.
Okay. Let me coax you. I can do it the hard way, too. How long you been shagging me?
2 days. I was climbing in your pocket all the time.
Who pays the fare?
A client. You know I can't tell you his name. It ain't ethical.
Yeah, sure. You and me both. We're up to our ears in ethics.
Hey, lay off of me.
What's his name? Who's paying you?
What do you have to slug me for? All right, take it easy. His name's Jardine.
Come again.
Anthony Jardine. Tall guy, fancy dresser, thinks he's class.
Where do you live?
You saw my address, 23rd Street, with my brother-in-law.
What's his phone number?
Chelsea, 043510. Go on. Phone him. See if I'm lying.
Just stand where you are, Foss.
What's the matter? No answer?
Hello?
Fred Foss there?
He ain't here.
When'll he be back?
I don't know. You want to tell me something?
No message. All right. Take your keys and your nickels. And if I catch you tailing me again, I'll ram that roll right down your throat.
Uh-oh.
Oh, now look what you've done. Knock my ink over.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm nervous or something.
All over your nice white suit. Here's your $5. Get it cleaned. Jardine's fussy about neatness.
What you doing with my wallet?
This I keep. I got a poor memory for names and addresses. I may want to look you up again sometime. All right, Buster, blow.
Hello.
Well?
This time you will fire me.
You lost him.
Uh-huh.
That's fine.
He got in another cab. I followed him.
Except when the other cab stopped, he wasn't in it.
How'd you know?
He told me that's what he'd do.
I'm sorry, Brad.
It doesn't matter, honey.
Well, who was he?
Just hired muscle.
Who hired him?
Forget it. You'll be better off.
Come on, open up that steel safe. I want to know and I want to help.
That's awful good talk, baby. But why?
Because I happen to be very fond of my boss, even if he is stubborn.
Look, get going while the door's still open. Stick around here and you'll get grafters, shysters, two-bit thugs, maybe worse. Maybe me.
I like those odds. I'll take them and I'm staying. I like your style, too.
Thanks.
Having said my piece, I think it's time for me to go home now. I'll see you in the morning.
Sure. Okay.
Good night, Brad.
Good night. Jardine. Jardine again. Jardine.
Hello, Mr.
Huh? Beat it. Can't you see I'm phoning?
It's dark in the hall. I'll turn on the light.
Thanks.
You're the man who rented the room, aren't you?
Yeah. Here's a nickel. Go on, go to bed. It's late.
Thank you. You got ink all over your suit.
Wicket residence?
Let me talk to Mr. Wicket.
Who's calling, please?
Tell him it's the man from San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
I told you to go to bed.
Good night, mister.
Hello?
Wicket?
Yes?
I'm back at my rooming house. Well, it worked just like you said. Gall took me up to his office, pushed some muscle at me. I played softy.
You mentioned the name?
Jardine? Yeah. And when he heard it,
it hit him right where he lived. I just thought I'd let you know.
Well, I'll be in touch with you.
Is that all?
I said I'd be in touch with you. I'm entertaining guests. I'm very busy now. Good night. Well, looking for me, Jardine?
As a matter of fact, for your wife. Where is she?
Wasting her charm on those dullards in there. Shall we go in?
I think it's a wonderful party. Well, then you don't give any other kind, do you, Ralph?
Ah, there's Mari now, the woman who brightens my declining years.
I heard that, darling. Aren't you exaggerating? This is only our third anniversary.
You're not decrepit yet, old boy.
Then why do I detect a rather tactless emphasis on that old boy? Yes, Mari and I rather think we present the perfect picture of Beauty and the Beast.
You can be a beast at times, Mr. Wicket.
But as long as I'm amusing Mrs. Kingsley, you'll forgive me. Senility, though, is unforgivable.
You're the most attractive man in the room, and you know it.
Oh, I adore you.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Well, Miss Wilding?
I need advice. Legal advice. I was wondering if I might borrow Mr. Jardine for a moment.
Oh, of course, Miss Wilding. Shall we go out on the terrace?
I think we'd better. It's really very confidential.
What's Jardine trying to do? Drum up business at my party?
Isn't that what you're doing? Celebrating your anniversary? And at the same time, entertaining some very likely customers for your art gallery?
I never confuse business with sentiment. Unless it's extremely profitable, of course.
But there is an exhibition at the gallery tomorrow.
Now, that happens to be a coincidence. I took great pains to arrange, Mrs. Kingsley. And if you come, I may have that turn a landscape.
The landscape? Oh, how wonderful. I'd give anything for that painting.
Well, you'll give plenty if you buy it through me.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I must tell my husband the good news.
Ralph, what would that Miss Wilding want of Tony Jardine?
What's the matter, darling? Are you jealous?
You know you don't mean that.
No. I'm the jealous one, Mary. You're beautiful. I never want you to grow one day older. You should remain ageless like a Madonna who lives and breathes and smiles and belongs to me.
That's very sweet, Ralph. But you haven't answered my question.
I haven't the slightest idea what Miss Wilding wants of Jardine. Come along.
It's beautiful on the terrace, isn't it, Lucy?
Oh, stop it, Tony. Did you receive my painting? I sent it to your apartment.
I got it this afternoon. I would have preferred cash, but if you're short, the painting will have to do. I imagine I can always dispose of it.
Now may I have my letters, please?
Certainly. They're all in this envelope. Oh, I'm a heel, Lucy, but I'm not greedy. I promise not to trouble you anymore.
Who's next on your list, Tony? Wicket? Or perhaps Mrs. Wicket?
That's a dangerous remark to make.
Yes, isn't it?
You know something, Brad? I've just decided I don't like this restaurant.
What's the matter with it?
It does things to you. You just sit there staring. It couldn't be the company, so it must be the restaurant.
I'm sorry, baby.
Still worried about the man in white?
Yeah, in a way.
That was two nights ago.
And I don't know any more about it now than I did then.
And every time I've mentioned the subject, you've told me to shut up. Oh, very politely, of course, but... Brad, what is it? Please tell me.
I got a feeling something's closing in, and I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's only me.
I wouldn't be so jumpy just about you.
Oh, yes, you would. Because I'm playing for keeps, remember?
I thought you were sharp.
I am sharp.
Then you got out fast.